reading for this morning is taken from select verses of the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, and we are here about 1,100 years before the time of the birth of Christ. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "As for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was a little boy, I loved having my mom read to me the story of Mephibosheth, partly because I just like saying Mephibosheth. You know, I got a boring name like Don, or like Erling, but Mephibosheth, what a great name. But the story here of Mephibosheth is so heartwarming for a variety of reasons and on a variety of levels. This was said at the time of King David, who succeeded Saul, the grandfather of Saul, or a grandfather of Mephibosheth. And at that time, of course, we remember the story, the Bible story about how Saul had pursued David, who had been anointed the next king over the Jews, and Saul had pursued him off into the caves and so on, seeking to kill him. And the Lord preserved David's life. And finally, Saul took his own life in battle. And now David had assumed the throne. And Saul's son, Jonathan, had been very kind to David and had helped him escape and so on. And it was common practice in that day and age. We still see this reflected a little bit in our day and age as well, too. It was common practice that when there was a change in power and a new family came onto the throne, quite often the children and grandchildren, especially the sons of those from the previous regime, would be put to death and executed so that there would be little or no chance of anyone from that family rising up again and trying to take back the throne. And that's why Mephibosheth, even though he's lame, comes before David and refers to himself as a dead dog. Why should you care about me as a dead dog? And we see this even today, that sometimes deposed dictators, their sons and grandsons, will run and fear for their lives because of this very type of retribution. And you might especially have expected that kind of action from David toward the descendants of Saul, because of Saul's activities toward him and how badly Saul had wanted to kill him and so on. But David instead acts contrary to this maybe natural impulse, this sinful impulse that would be in all of us. We like to take revenge when we can. It's hard for us to think compassionately toward somebody. But David instead asks this great question that's not included. It's in this chapter, but I didn't include it in the text before us. David asks this great question: "Is there not still someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" That's an interesting statement. Isn't there somebody left in Saul's family to whom I can show the kindness of God? He uses a Hebrew expression there, chesed Elohim. The mercy and compassion of God. Sometimes in the Bible translations, it's translated the loving kindness of God. David sees himself as the recipient of God's compassion and of God's mercy. And he now wants to find a way to express that same compassion and mercy out of him into the life of another individual. God's mercy not only moved David to have compassionate thoughts, but to want to do something, to want to actually take some action. And that's exactly how God's heart is when it came to us. God wasn't just moved to have sympathetic thoughts toward us in our condition of sin and death and the impending judgment in front of us. But God chose to take action, to put that mercy in his heart into activity. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, Paul writes. He also says to his readers, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich." Christ poured out his lifeblood in action. God didn't just sit in his throne in heaven and think nice warm thoughts about us. He took action. He sent his son to suffer the pangs of hell so that you and I would never have to know what that's like. So in the same way that God's heart was stirred to not just think something but to do something, we see that likewise here in the life of King David. Now, this historical account in the life of King David, this beautiful story about his treatment of Mephibosheth, also serves, you might say, as a metaphor for how God relates to us and how God has chosen to deal with us. David could merely have felt sympathy instead of bringing death to Mephibosheth, but he goes one step further. He not only just says, "Okay, I'm going to let him live," but he even takes another step. He seeks to go find him and bring him to the palace to live, and now treats him as if he belongs to the royal family once again and lets him eat at his table. God could easily have condemned us for our sin. Just think of all the things we've done wrong against him. Our own consciences know it. Talk about dead dogs easily before God. God could easily have just cast us aside. We like to sometimes joke about hell. But you know, when you really stop and think about what that could be like and would be like, it's really pretty devastating. Now, God could easily have simply chosen to let us not have to deal with that, and that would have been it. But he's even gone a step further. He's taken the ultimate step through the work of his son. He was moved by his compassion to move beyond just not having us have to deal with hell. He chose to actually come into our lives and to claim us as part of the royal family in the waters of baptism, through the proclamation of his word, through faith in our hearts, to love Christ and learn what he's done for us. And he has been moved to now promise to bring us to his eternal home in heaven, and to actually get to sit at his very table and to drink from his very cup. And so those who are now touched by God's compassion and have come to understand from his word what this means, that God has been so gracious and shown us this chesed Elohim, the loving kindness of God. God now loves to see in their lives how they ask the question of David: "Is there not still someone to whom I may show the chesed Elohim, the kindness of God?" Knowing how you and I have been graciously treated by our Heavenly Father, and knowing that someday we're going to get to live in his palatial halls up in heaven and to actually sit and feast with him at his very table, where now in our lives here on earth are the Mephibosheths around us? Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for showering down your great mercy upon us through your word and sacrament, through the work of your Son, claiming us as your own dear children. We pray that you would stir up our hearts as well to show compassion to the various people we encounter in our day-to-day lives, that we may reflect the same wonderful grace you have shown us. We pray it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.